Hey everybody, this is Robin Steele, pastor of Promised Land Church in San Marcos, Texas, and it is a privilege to have you with us this week on the podcast. And to try to set up this week's sermon is very difficult because there was so much that we prepared non-verbal communication to get people ready to hear the Word of God. But I'll try to give you a little snapshot of what happened. So if you'd have been here on Sunday, when you got to the facility, there had been no one there to help you park your car. There had been no one there to greet you at the door. If you were to drop your kids off at the student center, you would have found the student center locked. You couldn't even get in the building. And if you go over to the worship center, of course, there's no greeters at the door. And when you actually walked into the sanctuary, there was one light turned on, or just a couple lights turned on the platform. There was one musician on keys, and there was one drummer. That was it. And there's no words on the screen. There's no special lighting. There's no one to help you find a seat. So it was very interesting and completely different than a normal Sunday. So that sets up the message. You need to know that before I start preaching. But before we do get into that, I want to remind you, please go to iTunes and rate and review our podcast. Many of you listen every week and you get a lot out of the podcast. We would love for you to go and give us a rating on iTunes and also give us a review if you got time to do that. Just a couple sentences. All those help promote the podcast. Of course, you can always get the word-for-word sermon notes on my personal blog. That's pastorrobin.com. I'd love to hear from you there on the blog. You can leave comments, ask questions, whatever you'd like on the sermon. All right, here we go.
Attention or assistance, please feel free to dismiss yourself. We have a what we call a calming room right over here, this big window. You can take your children in there if they get too riled up and calm them down, come back in. And here's another thing. There's a little piece of paper, that little cone thing that's rolled up. There's crayons in there and some things to crayon, color with, kids, if you want to do that. Or adults, if you're just bored and want to color. Feel free to color yourself. Everybody that pays attention today, if you leave and you've done well, you focus, we've got ice cream, free ice cream. When you leave, you might have seen that big freezer out there. We're going to open it up. Take it all, please. We don't want any left over. So there's enough for everybody. Take it. That's a great way to start lunch off, isn't it, with dessert? Actually, today is No Show Sunday. We're calling it No Show Sunday. And we just asked all of our volunteers, some at the last minute, some today, volunteered to show up and didn't know. And we said, no, you cannot serve today. We don't want you to serve today. We want you to just go into service and just rest. So we want to honor our volunteers today and say thank you to all the ones that serve every single Sunday. We love you. You make a difference. We also want, by the end of the day, to recruit the potential from some of you that haven't yet stepped up to serve. So let's go to the book of John in the Bible, and I want to share with you how today is biblical, how this actually happened in the Bible. John, the second chapter in the first verse, and you're just going to have to turn your Bibles or get out your smartphone and look it up on YouVersion or something like that. This usually, if you forgot your Bibles, the scripture would be up on the screen, but it's not happening today. So Jesus performs his first miracle in John, the second chapter, the first verse. How many kids in here know the very first miracle of Jesus? Kids, do y'all know this answer? What is it? Shout it out. What is it? He turned water into wine. That's good. Don't get too excited. She was at the first service, okay? So she heard it already, and I love you, man. Okay. Jesus turned water into wine, John, the second chapter, in the first verse. Let's read the first couple verses there. says, on the third day. Now, that's a deep thought right there. We're not even going to get into that, but Jesus shows up on the third day. So those of you that have been around church a while know there's some deep stuff right there. But on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. What's her name? Mary, that's right. Mary was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. That's pretty cool that Jesus was a man that people actually wanted around. They invited him to the wedding. That teaches us something. Be somebody that people want to invite to a party, all right? They wanted Jesus at the wedding and his disciples. Verse 3, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. I want us to say that together. Say it with me. They have no wine. Say that again. They have no wine. In that culture, honor was the highest priority. To honor the guests was at the top of the list of this culture. So the father of the bride had this big celebration in order to marry off his daughter. And his objective was not just to marry his daughter, but to honor everybody at this party. Now, we in our culture today have big weddings, don't we? They last several hours. Then we have this big party. Everybody's dancing. Everybody's having a good time, eating a meal. You know, it's a big deal. It's a big party. Thousands of dollars are spent on weddings in our culture. But listen to this. In Jesus' day, sometimes a wedding would last a week. That's a celebration. That's a party. And they want to make sure during the whole week that their guests were honored and put first. So the fact that they had no wine meant that they were failing to honor their guests. And the owner of the party, the governor of the party, the father of the bride was struggling because he was failing to honor the guests. And today at Promised Land, it's kind of like that. We kind of recreated that same scenario where there's no wine in the place today. That volunteers have failed to serve anyone, and it's not because they chose to, it's because we asked them not to. But this happens in a lot of places, a lot of churches, unfortunately, where guests are failed to be served. And we just wanted today it to be a little rough around the edges so you could remember what it was like, maybe your first time at a church where it was not exactly easy to feel, understand, learn, and get connected to Jesus, where wine was not being offered to the guests. At our church, we might make it a priority. Our church has been here for 10 years. For 10 years, we've been making it our priority to serve when we have church, to serve our guests, to serve our members. We feel like it is our privilege and our honor to serve God while we serve his people. Just to say we love God but not serve the people is not really the full gospel. In fact, Jesus said, you will be known by me when you have love for the least of these. Right? So this is all a part of serving. So at Promised Land, we want to make it easy for you to be connected to God. And when something's not right, we want to try to do everything we can to make it right. Whatever the case, whether it's in the parking lot or in the seats or during the week or it's at a small group or it's at your office, whatever. Guests are a big deal. That's our mission. Our mission is to reach the lost of this whole region and let them know that Jesus Christ loves them and that they can be forgiven in Jesus and be saved forever and ever and ever. That's why we're here. That's why this church is here. We're not, I have this chair up here because I want you to see we're not saved just to sit. What happens is we can get saved and then sit, and then we start thinking it's all about what I want. So, no. Over the last 10 years, since we started, there's been over 5,000 people come through these doors. Not just these doors, but our old building and Outkick Teaching Theater. We met at Outkick Teaching Theater for 2 years. And then we came to this building, and now we're at this building here. Over 5,000, that's 5,000 unique people. That's not like one person coming through the door 5,000 times. That's 5,000. I want you to just wrap your brain around that. 5,000, that's a lot of people. What will happen when they get here? Will we have wine? That's the question that we ask ourselves. Will we have wine? Harry just mentioned, over the last 6 weeks in summer, when everybody's on vacation, we've had 150 first-time guests at the church in summer. That's crazy. In September, we're going to do Explore God. He also mentioned Explore God. Explore God is an initiative over September and October. Over 300 churches in the Austin area are doing Explore God. There will be hundreds of people that come through these doors and watch us online. Over the next 3 months, September, October, and November, this is a huge growing time for church. Hundreds of people will come through these doors that have never known how to have church, what God is like, is Jesus right, is Jesus alive? All these questions. This is not like, will it happen? Could it happen? It will happen. But the question I have for you today is, will we have wine at the party? Will we have wine at the party? So that's what we're trying to get here. Try to share with you what the culture of our church is. For those of you that are guests here today, this is really good for you because we're just like ripping off the hiding cloth, whatever you want to call that, the barrier. You're seeing like way behind the scenes at what this church is all about. And hopefully you can understand we have a passion to not just love God, but to serve His people. And when I talk about His people, I'm not talking about all the holy people in the church that you think are holy. I'm talking about His people. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world, the Texas State students that are moving to town that don't know Jesus. That our culture here at this church is to make an environment, a place, a party for them, a celebration for them to come to, that they would see Jesus here and serve them and love on them. And so this is kind of the threefold way that we love God and serve people, is that every member is a minister. That means every person that's a regular attender of this church, God sees you as a person that is able to minister for Him. Now, the word minister is intimidating. It's like that means you got to preach or you got to sing or you got to do something like really hard or difficult or whatever. But minister doesn't mean that. Minister just means you are acting on God's behalf in some way. So every person, this is a mindset that we all want to have here at Promised Land. Every person here is a minister. The second thing is this, every task is important. There's no insignificant tasks in the house of God. Just today, I was walking from my office over here, and I was just walking through this little rock garden over here. I saw a styrofoam cup on the ground, and I was struggling. Do I pick up this cup? This is supposed to be no-show Sunday, and we're supposed to reflect that there's things to do, and there's, you know, like, this is God's house. This is the bread of life. And I've always been taught, you don't serve the bread of life on something nasty. You can do it well. You can do it with the best. You can do it with excellence. So that means that styrofoam cups on the ground have no place here. So I picked it up. There's nothing that is insignificant, and there's no person that is too high or mighty for anything. So every person is a minister, and every task is significant. And the third thing is this, that everybody in here is a 10 at something. Like, you're really, really good at something. I don't know what it is. Maybe you know what it is. But everybody in here is a 10 at something. It may be smiling. It may be shaking hands. Right? It might be playing a guitar. It might be loving on a child. It might be working on computers or fixing buildings or driving a golf cart. You may be like the best golf cart driver ever. You're 10 at something. Some of you have gifts and talents that you don't see displayed here, and you've just always thought, I just really like to do this, and I'm really good at it, but I guess that's just an accident, or you feel guilty because it doesn't fit in the church model. But I'm here to tell you today that if God made you good at something and you like it, you need to start thinking about how that could be used in the kingdom of God. Whether it's golfing, or basket weaving, or swimming, or quilting, or scrapbooking, softball, that's a gift for you. It's not a gift for me. I learned that yesterday when our church softball team played. Our church softball team played yesterday, and as soon as I got out of the game, we started winning. Seriously, I'm not joking. Seriously. I was like the pastoral curse got out of the game. They immediately started scoring runs, making outs. So I learned, you guys got it. I don't. Stick with your day job, Pastor. So you're a 10 at something. I want to keep saying that just for a second. Every member is a minister. There's no insignificant tasks, and you're a 10 at something. Every member is a minister. Everything is significant, and you are a 10 at something. All right, let's go back to the scripture in verse 4. And John 2 and 4, before I do that, I want to say, I know that there's some of you that are sitting there thinking, oh man, I kind of like today. I kind of like, you know, we don't need all that loud music, all those lights and fancy stuff and people being friendly and shaking your hand all the time, stuff like that. I just want to get in here. I just want to have church. I want to leave. And if God wants to save people, he can save people. God is sovereign. He has the power to save people. And I'm just going to come here and, I kind of like today. I can feel it. I can sense it. I just want you to be careful, because God is sovereign and he does have all power and he does have all authority. And we saw that as we were worshiping, that we didn't need words and we didn't need some things, and God just showed up. However, don't let God's sovereignty hide your apathy. Okay, so yes, God is all powerful and he does all things well, and he can do all things, but he still created you for a purpose. And just because he can do all things doesn't mean he's going to do all things. He created us to participate in this whole thing. And so we can't let God's power and our to cover up our selfishness and our apathy and think this is all about me just showing up and having church the way I like it. Because that's not the culture here. And you'll be frustrated for a long time if you're trying to get comfortable in this place, because it is our mission to keep reaching lost people. And that means that it will be crowded in this service. The service will always be crowded, and we're always going to be asking you, hey, go to the 9 o'clock service. For some of y'all, that's a big way you can serve the kingdom, is start going to the 9 o'clock service or adding a new service. Woo! Hadn't talked about that in a long time. But if we have people that are willing to not just think about themselves, but think about the lost. Now, listen, Jesus had a prayer request when it came to reaching lost people. He did. He had a prayer request, but I think we as Christians get it wrong a lot of times. So Jesus talks about the lost, and he talks about the sheep that are out there. They're lost. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And you can just feel the heaviness of Jesus as he's looking out over all these lost sheep. And he says, there's so many sheep out there. There's so many lost people out there. That's a given. That's going to happen. Just like I said earlier, they're going to come through these doors. They're going to be at the office with you. They're going to be at Texas State. We don't have to pray for lost people to be connected with lost people. They are going to be here around. And we don't have to pray that God would just show up and do something because he's here. Listen, Jesus does have a prayer though. He says, pray that there will be laborers in the field. There will be a harvest. But my prayer, Jesus says, is that there will be laborers that will wake up and be ready to harvest when the time is right. So our prayer today is that same prayer, that people that are in Promised Land would get shook up a little bit and be ready to serve. So here we go. Now here's verse 4. Jesus said unto this mom of his, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour has not yet come. In other words, he says, mom, this is not my problem. Now, kids, this is one time in the Bible you cannot do what Jesus did, okay? This is not acceptable for you to just start talking to your mom that way, telling your dad off, I ain't gonna take the trash out because this is not my time, okay? My time has not yet come, okay? Kids, mom, say amen on that one. Dad, say amen on that one. Hey, obey your father and mother. But Jesus at some points transcends his humanity and he is God, okay? And so he is making sure we understand the difference between earthly realm and heavenly realm. And whenever there's a discrepancy in the two, he always goes for the heavenly realm. Remember when he was 12 years old and he was supposed to go home, his ride was leaving and the caravan was going back up north to the Galilee area. He was still in the temple, 12 years old, and they had to turn the caravan back around, go back to Jerusalem. Hey, where's Jesus? He said, don't you know I'm about my father's business? Jesus always had his father's business first. And just think about us and our culture today. How easy is it for us to flip that around and make sure our earthly culture is before the father's plan? Our earthly plan, like we will be slaves to our job here on the earth before we serve in the church. Think about that. Well, we can follow Jesus' example about, am I putting God first? Am I putting the Father's business first before my very own priorities? And so it takes his mother to prompt him to act a little bit. And you think about this task about turning water into wine. It's very big deal for us as humans. Like, we can never do that. We can never say, zap, you know, water's turning into wine. But this is the creator of the world standing there. Like, he created water. So obviously he can turn water into whatever the heck he wants to. He is, and that's why at first it's like, this is menial. This is not that big of a deal. This is just one wedding. Yeah, this dad is really bummed out. But this is Jesus that we're talking about. Like, why does Jesus need to stoop to this menial level and do this miracle for this woman? Like, he may never see these people again because he's doing the work of his father and all this stuff. But Mary engages him in this task. And so he, Jesus, stops what he's doing and does something for this family, which he's extremely overqualified for. When we look at tasks around the church, it's very easy for us to have pride in our heart and think, well, I mean, there's some things like playing a guitar, you know, doing something technical with the sound or speaking publicly or singing, that those do take some technical skills and stuff like that. And you may not have those. But then on the other hand, like, I'm way overqualified for, you know, greeting or picking up trash or making sure things are, you know, chairs are straightened and there's crayons and seats for kids. And like, there's just a lot of stuff that I'm overqualified. But when we get to that place where we might have a possibility of pride or selfishness in our heart, remember that Jesus was way overqualified to take on your sin. He was. Jesus was way overqualified to take on your sin, but yet he took it on. He was overqualified to turn water into wine, but he still, even God, even taking on the sins of the world, you got to understand how big God is. God is so big that he didn't have to do that, but he did. That's our example. That's who we serve. So in verse 5, Jesus' mother says to the disciples, "Do whatever he tells you." King James Version says, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." In other words, if Jesus says to do it, don't ask questions, jump. If Jesus says to jump, you say, "How far, how high, whatever." Not, "Let me think about the trajectory of this. And I need to fast and pray for a few weeks and decide." She said, "Whatever he says, do it." And so verse 6, "And there were set there six pots, stone, six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each one holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' And they filled them up to the brim, to the top." So these stone jars built for cleaning their hands. These were not beautiful vases that were cleansed and perfect. These were stone jars at the front of the house that were used for people to wash their hands, to purify themselves, to make sure they were clean. I want you to think about how heavy a stone jar is with 30 gallons of water in it. 5-gallon buckets are so heavy, right? 5-gallon bucket of water can barely carry it. This is a 20 to 30 gallon of water plus a stone pot that they didn't just take to the faucet and turn it on and fill it up, but they took it all the way out to the well outside of the home. And if I just went over there to Cana and saw it, it's not like Lockhart, you know, like we're just going to go across. Like, this is downtown San Marcos, hills and rocky cliffs and stuff like that. They're carrying these jars full of water. And they did exactly what Jesus asked them to do. Take ordinary stone pots and just put water in them. And this is, we're wrapping it up right here. I want you to grab a hold of this last point. Jesus told servants, ordinary people, to get ordinary things and put ordinary stuff in it. That's all he asked them to do. Just be faithful to do what you can do. Just follow what Jesus said. Take ordinary stone pots, and it's going to be heavy. And you might have to have people help you carry these things. But let's carry them and do what only we can do so that Jesus has a media to do what he can do. He's got something that he can use. He's got a vessel, literally, this clay pot, to do something with. And I want you to understand, these are simple stone jars. You come to church and you think, "Oh, so-and-so, she's done this and she's done that." Like, you think she's this beautiful vessel, this beautiful ornate porcelain vase. You got to understand something about Promised Land. We are just ordinary stone pots with water in them. That's it. And God shows up and does something with our ordinariness. He turns our ordinary service into something special that changes lives forever and ever and ever. I want to celebrate with you just for a minute the people that are serving right now. Right now, every Sunday morning, we have 136 different volunteer positions in this church. 136 volunteer positions. A lot of those, though, are served by one person doing multiple things. But what would, the idea today is, what if one person, 10% of the people, 20% of the people, didn't have to do 80% of it? What if everybody carried a pot? What if everybody expanded the capacity for the miracle of wine? I want you to think about this. You could be asked by Jesus to carry a pot. So 136 positions over two services. That's two services. That's 408 hours per Sunday. That's 21,000 volunteer hours a year. If they were to be paid minimum wage to do that, it would be $156,000 a year that our servant, that's just the value of the stone pot and the water. That's just the minimum wage. But think about what happens when we bring our minimum wage, our stone pots. And when I say that, I'm saying just teaching a class, just shaking a hand, whatever, getting people ready to be baptized every Sunday, running a camera. We got Lacey running a camera today, for goodness sake. It's probably awful. The people online are probably like, who is behind the camera? So think about what happens when an ordinary task, your water, Jesus does something to it and does something that you just don't know what you can do, but God turns it into something else. And we've got business owners that open up doors and park cars. We've got stay-at-home moms, I call them professional moms, that sing up here, that organize the bulletin that you get every week, that are teaching classes. We've got IT guys that work in offices all over Austin all week and then come here on Sunday and make this place look phenomenal. We've got single parents, listen to this, we've got single parents that get here every Sunday at 7:45 a.m. with their kids in tow. And their kids are bathed, and they got their hair sort of brushed, and they've had breakfast. And they get here at 7:45 to get this place ready for you to come and worship Jesus. And they park up in the top parking lot so that all these spaces are open when you get here. And so it's 7:45 every Sunday. It just does something to my heart when I see little families coming down this sidewalk out of the woods to come down here on their day off. They're not even paid for this. On their day off, they are coming with pots of water for God to do some miracle with. I want to show you exactly what happens at the end of this passage. At the end, Jesus says unto them in verse 8, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. In other words, I want the master of the feast to taste. So they took it, and when the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from. But this is the part I want you to see. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Servants knew. All the guests at the party, they said, man, you saved the best for last. You saved the best wine for last. And the ruler of the party was like, yeah, I don't know where they found this, but this is good stuff. And he's like trying, you know, I can just imagine him. He's like, whoo, we got wine. I don't know where they got it, but it's good stuff. I'm glad they did. Somebody's getting a raise this week. And all the guests were like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. This is wonderful. Drinking wine, having a good time, not knowing where it came from, but the servants knew. Servants saw a miracle behind the scenes. And we have people come to this church and they come through these doors and they say, wow, these people got it together. This place is great. It's like too polished. It's like too comfortable. They don't need me. What is this place? All they see, they're just drinking some fine wine. Man, this is awesome. Man. I almost feel guilty because they're like, church is supposed to be miserable. Church is supposed to be hard. And people don't know how to, they don't understand. But what the servants know, what the ones know that got here, is that Jesus showed up. And he took our ordinary stone pots and our ordinary water, and he did something. Jesus does something with our ordinary service. And I'm here to tell you today, you're seeing it from the guts. You're seeing it from the inside today. This is not a one-man show or one-woman show or one staff show or whatever. What happens at Promised Land is a group of people that are doing what Jesus told them to do. And it sounds so, like, could you imagine what they were thinking? You want us to take these hand-washing pots and go fill them with water? Like, here we read it like, oh yeah, Jesus is about to turn them into wine, but they don't know that. All they know is that Jesus is, and Jesus, this is his first miracle. Jesus hadn't even been doing public miracles. This is the first one. So like 3 years later, they'd have been like, oh yeah, Jesus is gonna do something. We don't know what he's gonna do, but he's about to do something big. This is the first one. They don't know what he's gonna do. They just do what he said to do. That's all they do. They're faithful, they listen, they follow Mary's instructions. And I just feel like Mary today. Do what he says to do. There's a piece of paper in the seat in front of you. I think. Look, is there a piece of paper in the seat in front of you that's like kind of oblong and it's got some boxes on it? Grab that right now. It's not the envelope. It's a piece of paper. If you do not have a piece of paper in front of you, can I have one of those, Willis? I know I'm asking you to volunteer right now, but just, it's on me, okay? I'll give you a dollar afterwards. Okay, this piece of paper. If you do not have a piece of paper like this, will you raise your hand? Okay, there's no volunteers to hand you anything, so somebody share, throw it to them, I don't know. Jace's got one, all right, good. These boxes are pots. Everybody listen very closely. I don't want you filling this out until I tell you these things. We don't want you to check like 7 boxes off. We want you to check 1 box. And if you're serving already, we're not asking you to check a new box. This is for people that are not yet carrying a jar. This is for you to think about one area that you can serve in over the next 4 months from now until December 31st. For 4 months, we're asking folks to make a commitment. This is not take this home and pray and fast over it for 4 months and then come back to us with the one that you want to serve in, okay? All right? Everybody got this? There's some things on here that are like once a month, like the lawn team. They meet once a month. And they meet less than that once it gets cold. Okay, so there's things on there that you could do every week if you want to. There's things, we're trying to get it to an every other week thing. So you serve 1 week and then you don't serve the next week. If we had everybody jump in and take a pot this week, a lot of our current volunteers would get a much needed breather. All right, so let me tell you this. We're not doing this because we don't have any other option and we're desperate. Like, if nobody fills one out next Sunday, we're going to keep on rolling. Our children's ministry is going to rock and roll. Our worship team's going to be here. Our greeters are going to be back. You should have seen it today. Trying to tell people they couldn't greet. They're like, you cannot be friendly today. Go inside. Just get out of the foyer. Go. We had to pry Roland off of his little throne out there. Like, Roland. You cannot, I'm picking on you today, man. I don't know why, this is the day. Frank was like, I don't, It's like the people here, they're just, this is what they do. They love it. It is so fulfilling to see what Jesus does behind the scenes that once you get a taste of it, it's addicting. It's like telling these greeters and people that you can't do it today. It's like telling a drunk they can't have a drink. Like, that's who I am. That's what I do. That's just, today, some of the children's workers are like, I'm glad. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what, children's workers? Today, we honor you. We honor you today. We honor you today. We say thank you. As a parent myself, three kids. I got one in the special needs. We have a special needs Sunday school class for parents that have kids with special needs, whether it's very small maintenance, I don't know what you call that, but just like barely a little different, to my daughter that's in a wheelchair and can't talk. We have a special Sunday school class for what we call our shining stars. That's awesome. To be able to serve our guests with wine. So people come and say, wow, that's a good taste in wine. So to all those that do serve in children's ministry, what we're telling you is that you're about to get a fresh wind coming through the children's ministry. We're about to get a fresh wind come through the tech booth. We're about to get a fresh wind come on this stage. Because every week you come here and you see, wow, they got band members. They don't need me. I play guitar, but they must not need me. I play drums, but we need fresh wind coming through every part. Because we don't just have this band, but we'd love to let them have a little break. We'd also love to have live worship in our children's ministry. We'd love to have live worship in our youth ministry on Wednesday night. We'd love to have live worship at the prison, at Gary Job Corps. These are other campuses that we have. We have campuses that meet at the prison and at Gary Job Corps. Our Gary Job Corps team needs some people to carry some vessels. They meet at 12:30 on Sundays. There's like 30 Gary students that are meeting Promise and Gary. So here you go. Here are all these different pots you can check. Check one off, and then on the back, write name, email, and phone. Now listen. If you don't plan on serving, please don't fill this out. Some of you fill it out, put your email, phone, and then when we try to connect with you, you never call us back. You never email us back, okay? So just, this is not for, we're not trying to make you feel guilty or, just don't, you don't have to do it, okay? Is that clear? Is that cool? All right, okay. There's one other way you can do this on the city. There's a tab called Growth. You can click on Growth, and not only does it have a place for you to write a journal, to study the Bible, to share your personal testimony, but there's another link there under the Growth tab that says Service Opportunities. And you can click on that, and you can see every available job description, and you can click and send an email immediately to the person and get you plugged in. Let's stand right now. Let's pray to God that, so this is our prayer and our fasting right now for the next 3 minutes. All right, y'all ready? There's gonna be people standing at the doors with little silver pans. You can put two things in there today. First of all, you can put this in there. You can put this little thing in there. And the other thing is you can give God your financial offerings today, tithes and offerings, your financial gifts.
All right, folks, we're going to leave it right there this week. And if you're listening to this podcast and you go to Promised Land San Marcos and you have not had a chance to get plugged in on the weekend serve teams, we would love for you to get connected. There are several ways that you can connect with us. The best way is on the city. The city is our online community. You can go to our website, psmchurch.com, and at the very bottom is a link for you to get connected on the city. If you're on the city already, there's a tab there called Growth. You can click on the Growth tab, and you can see all the specific areas where you can serve. Of course, you can pick up the old-fashioned phone and give us a call, 392-4357. You can also send an email to elizabeth@psmchurch.com. Have a great week, guys. We'll see you next time.